The following is a Super Network production with Super Marcy.
But no! Like, I'll have a frozen Coke, no, the machine's broken.
The terrible Australian Be Jermaine.
And this was meant to be a kid's movie, right?
It contains coarse language.
Because, like, the guy back there in the office, he's...
Mature themes.
He's the BDSM kid, now you can have your own red room.
Potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Listener discretion is advised. Please find us at supermarcy.com and subscribe to us via Patreon at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Enjoy.
G'day everyone, this is Benjamin, aka The Terrible Aussie, and welcome back to episode 157 of The Super Podcast. And with me as always is my lovely co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy, how are you?
Hello, doing all right, how are you?
Oh, not too bad, thanks. It's been quite a while since you and I have recorded together, mainly because, the last two episodes that we've done, like, in terms of our shows and that, you weren't able to make it for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles audio commentary due to prior commitments. And I couldn't make the previous episode of 2B Tuesdays because I was away on holidays.
Yep.
So it has been probably a little bit since we've last.
Yeah, a little bit.
But we're back here to do a regular episode of the podcast because you and I were thinking, oh, we need to come up with an idea for an episode for this one before we sort of get back into the nitty gritty of our other shows. Yeah. And you and I were talking, and we thought we might come up, we'll do another topic episode of Super Podcast and discuss, like, our top threes of stuff. So we were sort of thinking about a bunch of ones, and then we settled on a pretty cool and awesome idea. And, Marcy, can you tell our audience what that idea we chose for this episode is?
I can indeed do that, Bede. So I came up with the idea to discuss our top three worst performances in a comic book movie.
Yes. And this was something that there have been so many comic book movies over the years and, like, throughout the decades. And as much as we get some really great performances from so many people who have been cast in these movies, like Robert Downey Jr. in the MCU, or Michael Keaton as Batman, and, you know, and so many others, every now and then there is a bit of a clunker of a performance. Sometimes it could be the actor themselves not sort of giving a performance that could have been as good as it possibly could, or it could be the way that the character was written, that it didn't really provide that said actor enough material to work with. But yeah, well, I mean, we sort of were thinking about this, and then you and I sort of came up with, like, a bunch of possible contenders for both our lists, and I think we come up with some pretty good ones, although I have come up with another new one for my list just this morning to add to my one, but I won't say what it is because I think it's one that might shock some people. But for this one, though, like, and we're not just going to focus on superhero films, we're also going to just focus on any type of comic book movie, if it's based on a graphic novel or comic book series, so we'll be talking about those. So we'll do a top three, and then we're also going to do some honorable mentions, and then we're going to do a little round that I'm looking forward to doing, is that we're going to talk about our favorite bad performances from a comic book film, which we've got you and I have picked two for.
Yes.
So let's get right to it. And Marcy, tell us your first pick for your worst performance in a comic book movie.
All right. So are we doing honorable mentions last or now?
We'll do honorable mentions last.
All right.
And then, but we'll do our top threes right there.
All right. So my first pick, so I guess we're doing our top three, so I'll put this in number three spot. I have decided to pick Wes Bentley as Blackheart in Ghost Rider.
Ouch.
Yes. Now, just excuse me that the dog is just messing around in this room. So I've picked this. Now, I am someone who actually quite likes Wes Bentley. At least I don't know if he's problematic or anything, but at least I've liked the, you know, his acting in quite a number of movies. But this one, I cannot defend this performance, as I don't know what the hell he was doing, who he was channeling, why his performance is just so terribly bad that it just... I mean, the movie is silly, like, just silly fun anyway, but his performance just takes it down. It's actually painfully bad. It's not funny. I mean, it is funny, but it's not so funny that I can forgive it. It's just really, really terrible.
Yeah, it's like, that's the thing, though. I thought when he was cast in that movie, and this, like, his villain turn as Blackheart in Ghost Rider was probably, like, the biggest, most prominent role they had been in since American Beauty.
Yeah,
even though he'd started a bunch of stuff, but it was, like, his biggest one, but, and I thought, okay, this is cool casting. I wonder how he does in the role, but yeah, unfortunately, he's very miscast in the role, and compared to everything else. And what's, you know, Ghost Rider is definitely not a good film, but it definitely has its moments of unintentional hilarity. But unfortunately, Wes Bentley is not one of them. Like, he pretty much is just, he's just so bland in that whole movie, and his character just doesn't come off as threatening at all. And it's kind of funny, though, because this, in the same year this film came out, he was in another movie where he also played a villain called Pig 2, and I honestly thought he was unintentionally hilarious in that movie. So I'm thinking, like, Wes Bentley probably is not the best person you go to if you want to have a villain in your film. I think Wes Bentley now would be a better pick because... like, I know at the time he had a lot of substance abuse problems and stuff like that. So I think now, since he's clean and sober and he's pretty much on the up and up now, because I know he's recently on Yellowstone. Like, he's a major star in that. And some of the films and performances I've seen of him, he's, like, legit good. But, yeah. But in this one, I agree. I can't really defend this performance because, yeah, it's... it's just very bland and just not threatening at all.
It's not, and it's just, it just doesn't work. And, you know, he does have, like, a bit part in the first Hunger Games that is kind of a villainous role, but he's actually pretty decent in that, and I quite liked him in that role. So he can kind of do that villainous type of role, but it just, nothing about it works. Like, as you mentioned, P2, that's more watchable and that's more fun and funny. This one just feels so ridiculously stupid that it's kind of hard to watch, and I feel bad because, you know, I was actually excited to see this movie when it came out because it just looked like big silly fun, and it is. But I don't know, something about his performance just takes some of that fun away because it just doesn't feel fun. It just... I don't know, dude must have been going through a hard time because it's painful to watch and it makes me sad to say, but yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think it was just, I mean, it's always fun. Like, ask any actor, their favorite type of performance to play is a villain role because they get to sort of, like, hand it up a little bit or be very sinister. But unfortunately, kind of compared to everyone else in that movie, Wes Bentley, I guess, just doesn't bring either. There's no intensity or no kind of hilarity with his, or over-the-top hilarity with his performance. So it just ends up just being bland in the process.
Yeah, it really does. And it kind of takes away from the movie because you have Peter Fonda, who's actually a lot of fun in his villainous role in this movie, but Wes Bentley just doesn't add up, like, with this performance or with him at all. It just doesn't work. So that's why I've put him as number 3 on this list, and I apologize to you, Wes Bentley, but you have done much better, thankfully.
Alrighty, I'll go to my number 3, and this is the last minute one I put in.
Oh.
And I know I'm probably going to get some hate from some people, but I'm going to be picky, and it pains me to pick this one because he's one of my favorite actors, and that is Andrew Garfield and the Amazing Spider-Man.
Bede, how dare you?
Okay, let me explain. First of all, like, when I heard that, you know, he was cast as Spider-Man, I thought, oh, that's really great casting, because up to this point, you know, Andrew Garfield was definitely making his mark as an actor, and, like, he did Boy A, The Social Network, Never Let Me Go, which he was fantastic in all three of those films. And I thought, oh, he's going to... And I know that Spider-Man was a role that he always wanted to play because he was a huge fan of the character. So this was like a dream role for him. So I was like excited to kind of see like what he would do for the part. Even though I, at the same time, was like, I think it's a little bit too soon to kind of reboot Spider-Man, like doing his origin story and that again. And then when I actually saw the film, I really did not care for his take on both Peter Parker and Spider-Man. When it's like when he plays Peter Parker, the character just sort of came off as too kind of emo and a little too angsty for my taste. And he was just, it just felt like this was mopey throughout most of the movie. Like, granted, a lot of stuff happens to his character early on, and but I don't know, he just didn't seem as kind of that version of Peter Parker that I liked. And not to say that could have worked, but I think the writing from the script just really didn't do him any favors. And, yeah, it just didn't come across as, like, Peter Parker at all. Kind of more like some kind of, like, sort of this outsider cool kid who's, like, good-looking. And but everyone's like, oh, he's an outsider, but, like, he's super handsome. but also when he plays Spider-Man, and as we all know, Spider-Man's a character who's, personality is the complete opposite of Peter. That's why having Peter kind of this nerdish character, when comparison to when he, once he puts on the suit, he becomes much more confident, more sarcastic as Spider-Man. But when he does become Spider-Man in this film, for about most of it, like, he just comes off as a bit of a raging asshole to people, even to bad guys. And I'm like, this is getting a little bit too mean here, Spider-Man. And it just sort of, like, I just couldn't... That, it's just, I think the overall sort of approach to the character, both as Peter Parker and Spider-Man, that Andrew Garfield took with the role just did not really work for me. And I suppose, like, if you are sort of like that sort of... At the time when the movie came out in 2012, like, a lot of teenagers probably kind of related to that more than I guess, you know, older Spider-Man fans like myself can. But, I mean, as we have seen with, you know, Tom Holland being the character in the past few films in the MCU, like, he was able to find that perfect balance of portraying Peter Parker and Spider-Man, like, as this kind of nerdish character, but was much more believable and relatable, and that we could root for that character. But for me, I just did not root for this Peter Parker and Spider-Man in this film. It just didn't work for me at all. And I think it really is kind of due to Garfield's performance, but also the writing and the directing as well. I will say this, though. I did think Garfield was better in the sequel, Amazing Spider-Man 2, even though a lot more people dislike that movie more than this one. But I felt like he kind of, his portrayal of that character in the sequel was actually much more better handled than that, than it was here. So, like, but I don't know. Maybe it's probably just me, because I know a lot of people who actually do like Andrew Garfield in this movie, but unfortunately I was not one of them, and I felt like his performance just did not work for me at all.
Yeah, you're speaking to someone who actually likes these movies and Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, so how dare you?
I knew I was going to get that a lot.
Yes, so. You would. And for me, just personally, I enjoyed both the movies and I enjoyed his performance. I liked that it was a bit different for Spider-Man. I didn't really want, like, the same old thing over and over, so I quite enjoyed it. It's been a little while since I've rewatched those movies, but I still stand by. I like Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, and you're totally wrong.
Thank you, Marcy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, how dare you?
Indeed, how dare I? And yeah. I'm probably going to get lots and lots of hate mail from Andrew Garfield fans.
Yes, they should just rip on you right now.
Bring it on, I say.
Yep.
But Marcy, who is your number two worst performance in a comic book movie?
All right, so in my number two spot, right there in the middle, I've decided to go with John Cryer as Lenny Luthor in Superman IV, The Quest for Peace. Now, I don't know how many people have really seen this movie, or at least, you know, well, I guess any time, because it is, people do say it's the worst one. I still think this is somewhat more watchable than number three. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things in this movie that don't really work for many different reasons. A big reason, Lex Luthor really didn't need, like, a nephew or whatever the hell John Cryer is meant to be. If it was cousin, his nephew, I freaking can't even remember.
I think it was nephew, if I remember.
Now, John Cryer, I don't think, is a bad actor. I think he is a decent actor, but in this movie, he's terrible. He plays the most obnoxious, annoying little shit of all time. Like, I want to punch him in the face every time he's on screen. And did Lex Luthor really need, like, another person to like, just some dumb, bumbling character? I don't want to use, like, those words, but he's just, like, a really stupid, bumbling, you know, character. And even Lex Luthor is like, yeah, you like, have such a low IQ, dude. you know, as things say. But, yeah, I don't understand what the point of his character was, why he was in this movie, why he acts the way he does, why not every single person ever has not punched him in the face. I don't know. And I think this is a far worse performance than Dear Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. This performance is just like, why does this character even exist? Why am I watching this? Why is this in the movie? I can deal with a weird nuclear man and whatever, but Lenny just is like, why? And he looks so ridiculous as well. It just doesn't work, okay? Like, say what you will about John Cryer as Ducky. It is a decent performance. This is not at all.
Yeah. I it kind of seemed to me like Canon Films were basically like, we got to bring the teenagers into this movie. I mean, they would have had him anyway. It's a Superman movie, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but no, let's bring people where the guy's like, oh, hey, dudes, I'm Lenny. Like, no, mate, no.
It's like they told us, like, we want to have Ducky from, like, Pretty in Pink in this movie, but even more annoying and obnoxious.
Just, like, 100 times worse. And it's like, why?
So that's the thing, though. I sort of was realizing this when we were talking about it yesterday, is that The quality of the Superman movies, like the Christopher Reeve ones, went downhill when they started just creating all new original characters for their main villains in the series. And, I mean, Richard Pryor is the main villain in Superman 3. What the fuck?
Why? I don't know. Okay.
Indeed. But, yeah, John Cryer, yeah, he's... Like, the character wasn't needed. Like, Lex Luthor didn't need a nephew.
No.
And I did like the fact that you could easily tell that Gene Hackman was not putting up with John Cryer's buffoonery in this movie.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's got such amazing lines, like, the dude of steel. I'm like, mate, just no. Yeah, you're just an experiment freako. It's like, mate, you're not a valley girl, okay? Like, yes. What even is this? I can't with this performance.
They were appealing to the teenagers, Marcy. That's
I can't deal with this performance, and it just, and the character, no, it doesn't work, like,
And it's funny, though, because, like, the irony being is that John Cryer, a few decades down the track, would actually play Lex Luthor in the Arrowverse. And I've only seen, like, the odd episode from the Arrowverse here and there, but I did watch when the Crisis of Infinite Earths crossover happened, because that seemed like a big event and I couldn't miss out of it, even though half the time I was like, what the fuck is going on? But I have to say, like, John Cryer was actually really good as Lex Luthor in those episodes I saw. He was actually, like, delivered a bit of humor, but also a lot of sinister qualities as well. And I thought, and I like the fact that they kind of brought that him, you know, brought that full circle with him from being in Lady Luthor to actually Lex Luthor. But yeah, this doesn't really work in this movie.
No, it really doesn't.
He just doesn't. He's there for the kids.
He's not there for any reason other than to make you want to punch him repeatedly 100 million billion times.
Exactly.
Lenny's going to be one of the most annoying and just shittiest characters ever. I'm sorry, yes. John Cryer. He is a terrible, terrible character. And I'm sorry you had to play this terrible character.
You know, I will say this. I have a feeling John Cryer would actually agree with everything you just said.
He probably does. He would probably rather play, you know, a TV Lex Luthor like he does than ever think about having played Lenny Luthor in a movie.
And that's why I'm like, Lenny Luthor has now just gone off into... He made his one appearance and was never heard of again.
He
died on the way back to his home planet.
I was going to say, he died on the way back to his home planet. Bye.
Yes.
All right, what's your number two?
All righty, my number two is Halle Berry in Catwoman.
Yeah, that whole movie is just like, what the fuck is this even?
I know, and the thing is, though, she's not even playing Selina Kyle. She's playing a whole new character named Patience Phillips. I believe that was her character
Patience
name.
Phillips, yeah. I believe, yeah.
Yes. I think she was an original character created for the film. She wasn't, like, a character from the comic, but at least not to my knowledge. I could be completely wrong. But that being said, though, Halle Berry is really terrible in this movie.
Yeah, I don't so understand... Terrible. Like, sorry, I just don't understand, like, how this movie is meant to fit in with Catwoman of the Batman comics at all.
Yeah.
It just feels like, okay, we're going to borrow some weird bit of the Batman Returns origin story in a weird way and just do this whole new thing and hope it works. And it's like, how and why? Because this makes no sense.
Yeah, because, like, in the movie, like, it kind of starts off similarly to, like, Batman Returns and that she's working for a major corporation, and she's, like, a very nerdish kind of awkward character. Mm. And then, of course, the bad guy, played by Sharon Stone, sort of, like, finds out that she kind of knows a bit more about what her evil plan is, so she has her killed. And then, of course, Halle Berry is brought back to life by Cat Breath.
In some horrendous CGI.
Indeed. And then she becomes a whole new person, which is no problem. But the thing is, throughout most of the movie, at least until she, like, fully becomes Catwoman, she starts behaving like a cat.
Yeah.
Like, she's, like, licking her paws and, like, is, like, wants to eat fish. And, like, her reflexes and abilities are much more heightened and powerful. Like, at least that... makes sense because it's like she's been given cat powers pretty much
somehow.
But the thing is, like, Halle, I actually do like Halle Berry.
So do I.
Her performance is a mixture of very over the top, very awkward, and it never really feels like she had a firm grip on who this character
I don't
is.
Think anybody had any idea what how whatever they did, because it's like they saw scenes from Batman Returns completely out of context and then wrote this part, because a lot of the stuff just doesn't make any sense. And then they try to tie it into some, like, ancient thing of Catwomen, and it's like, it doesn't work. And then the villain is making, like, this evil cream.
Evil face cream.
It's like, why? What? What the fuck? Why am I watching this? Why does this movie exist? What is going on? I don't understand a damn thing. And, yeah, look, again, like, I will defend Halle Berry because I do quite like her and I do like a lot of her movies and a lot of her roles. And you know what? I think that when she did win an Oscar, that was a fantastic performance. And I think that's a really hard movie to watch, and I think she did a great job. But then she does stuff like this, and it makes it a little bit hard. But I give her credit for, you know, embracing the shittiness of this film and just going with it. But I don't think at the time she really knew it was going to be this bad. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so, too. Because at the time, of course, you know, she was playing Storm in the X-Men films. But I think, like, even though that's more of an ensemble piece more than anything, and I think it was like, oh, I want to actually be the lead in a superhero film. And, you know, she just won the Oscar, so she had a bit of clout and power. And I kind of feel like you could have chose better, Halle. And I, like you say, I do give her credit because she did win the Razzie for Worst Actress for this film, and she actually did turn up to accept her award.
She did.
And she did realize, like, yeah, this movie was a piece of shit.
Yeah. I give her credit for that.
Yeah, but another thing about her performance that just, like, is so bad is, of course, the cat puns. It's like, what a perfect idea.
Yeah, like it's not good.
It's not good. She tries. She definitely does try, but, yeah.
Everything just really terrible. Let her down.
Yeah.
It really, really
the direction.
Does.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, just everything. It's, yeah, it's terrible. And her performance didn't really help matters either.
No, it's just, it all really doesn't work. And, yeah, it is painful. I don't know what anyone was thinking at all when they, you know, decided to go ahead with this movie. I really don't.
Like, I know they've been in the works of doing a Catwoman film for ages with Michelle Pfeiffer, but it just never came together. And I know Ashley Judd was in talks to play the role as well, but yeah, this is one of those ones. Maybe they should have just waited on it a little bit longer.
Or just never gone ahead with it at all.
Exactly. Mm. But yeah, that's my number two. But Marcy, who is your number one worst performance in a comic book movie ever?
Look, there are so many that I could pick, but I have decided to go with this one. George Clooney as Bruce Wayne and Batman in Batman and Robin.
I do agree with this.
Yeah, so look, George Clooney didn't give a shit. He was like, all right, I don't care that Batman and Bruce Wayne have to have, like, different sort of personalities, whatever. You know, it's kind of how we discussed with, like, Spider-Man Peter Parker. George Clooney was just like, I'm going to be George Clooney, and I didn't give a shit. And it is just a bland, really just horrendous performance to try and watch. And I know George himself does not like this. He has apologized many, many times. But everything just does not work. It is, it's painful to watch him in this movie, and I don't know why Elle Macpherson is in this as, like, the weird love interest, but that doesn't work either. He got no chemistry with no one in this movie. He's just really boring, and even when he's, like, you know, he gets out the back credit card, it's like, eh, just go away, mate. Like, you don't go and watch Batman and Robin for George Clooney. You watch Batman and Robin for Uma Thurman and Arnold Schwarzenegger. At least they made it fun. George Clooney is painfully boring.
Yeah, I have to agree. Like you were saying, is that, you know, with Batman, like Spider-Man, like, they have to be kind of the two sides of the character. Like, you got Bruce Wayne. Like, I think George Clooney would have been fine as Bruce Wayne. Like, he could have just George Clooney'd it up. But the thing is, with his Batman, is that he pretty much approaches that character the exact same way as Bruce Wayne, as basically George Clooney. Doesn't change the voice, doesn't change the tone, the mannerisms. It's like, you can look at both characters and be like, I can't imagine any character in this movie who knew Bruce Wayne, like, the version in this film,
couldn't work out he was Batman straight away.
Yeah. Exactly. At least with Val Kilmer in Batman Forever. At least he attempted to kind of try to, show that these are two separate characters. When he's Bruce Wayne, you know, he's suave and, you know, businesslike, but when he's Batman, he actually legit is imposing and changes his voice.
Yeah.
Even very subtly. But George does not do that. Like, his voice is the same as Batman as it is Bruce Wayne. And like you said, like, there's no enthusiasm into that performance. Like, I know he was shooting this movie the exact same time as ER, and maybe he was just going back and forth between the two sets, just made him tired, and he just didn't really give a shit. But he could have put a bit more effort into it. And it really says something when, like, you have, like, one of his first big lines in the movie is, like, when he meets Mr. Freeze. It's like, "Hello, Freeze, I'm Batman." It's like, no enthusiasm, not even this coming off as intimidating.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, and look, I've defended Batman Forever many times on this podcast. I have said how much I like Val Kilmer as Bruce Wayne and Batman. But I think George Clooney has got to be the worst to play the character, and it's just bad. He just doesn't give a shit, and it's sad. Because you look at the difference of performance with, say, Uma Thurman. She didn't give a shit what movie she was in. She was going for it.
Yeah.
And it's fun. Fun to watch her, but he's just like, "I'm George Clooney. I don't give a shit."
Yeah. Mm. And it's a good thing. Luckily, it's a good thing Out of Sight came out the following year.
Because it's going to tank his career.
Yes. So it bad. Killed his... Like, he even has said, like, all the times, like, I was the one who killed the Batman franchise for many years. And if Outside never came along and pretty much was as a big critical and box office success as it was, this film would have easily have tanked his career for good.
Yeah.
At least as a movie star, anyway.
Yeah, he would not have had any kind of career if he didn't have, like, Out of Sight. Because this is terrible. If you only have seen George Clooney in one thing and it was this, you would think he's the worst actor ever to step foot on the planet. It is that bad.
Exactly.
It is that awful.
He doesn't work as Bruce Wayne, and he doesn't work especially as Batman.
Nah. It's just, no. And, you know, he has nipples on his bat suit. That's a whole nother tangent.
But the thing is, the one I'm always obsessed about is the bat ass. Just saying.
It's such a rubbery ass. I don't know how they move in that. I have no idea.
But
That ass.
Yeah. we'll move right along to my final pick.
Mm.
And this, in my opinion, is the worst performance of all time in a comic book movie. And that, of course, is Shaquille O'Neal in Steel.
I don't think it's worse than George Clooney, though.
Well, that is true. At least Shaquille is giving it his all in this movie.
Shaquille, at least, in Steel, thinks he's doing this amazing comic book adaptation. So he's trying to be all in. George Clooney gave no shits. So I at least credit Shaq with giving somewhat of a shit with this movie, as bad as everything is.
Yeah, but I will agree on that front. But even then, Shaquille O'Neal, as much as I do love him as a person, he is bad in this movie. Like, the character of Steel, like, the version that's in the comics is so... the movie version is so removed from the original version of the comic book character, and because Superman as a character is a huge part of how... the character of Steel came to be. And since they pretty much strip away of all that kind of Superman elements, they basically kind of, in a way, and I noticed this when I did my bad movie tweet-a-thon on it so long ago, is like Steel, in a way, is kind of a pre-Iron Man movie. It basically is the exact same movie. You got his character who thinks he's like, who works in the army. Well, he's, you know, he's kind of a mixture of Rhodey and Tony Stark. So he works in the army, creates these weapons, and then realizes his weapons are being misused and decides to kind of build the suit to stop bad guys from misusing his weapons. But as Shaq really tries, but his performance just comes off very wooden. And also the costume he has to wear, which doesn't look anything like the costume from the comics, is so dumb.
It's really awful.
And you can tell he is so uncomfortable in that costume. And the fact, like, you know, this was around the time, like, I think they were trying to make Shaq into a huge movie star because he did this and Kazam back to back. Yeah. And both of these are legit, like, two of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah, they are not good.
Yeah, and Steel is so badly written and poorly directed, and it's just, like, an embarrassment. And you can definitely tell that Shaq, like, I will say this, like I said before, at least compared to George Clooney, like, at least Shaq, even though he still gives a poor performance, at least he's trying to make an effort. But it really just doesn't
He's making an effort without realizing just how bad everything is.
Yeah.
Like, it's, wow.
It's just a really bad performance. And it's not kind of, like, the film, it's not like an unintentionally hilarious type of performance, too. It's just bad. Everything about this film is bad. And Shaq just, as much as he is a very charismatic person in real life, as an actor, he loses all that charisma, and he just comes off as very stilted and wooden. Like, and it just
generally just there's no personality there. And if you just see Shaq normally, like, he's someone who does have a personality. It's just when he's acting, there's nothing there, nothing comes through. It's like he shuts himself off completely, and then it's just this really bland, nonsensical type of performance.
Yeah, it has to really say something when Michael Jordan in Space Jam gives a better performance than Shaquille O'Neal.
And it's not a very good performance either. Just saying.
I don't know, I do like MJ in Space Jam, but that's a whole different podcast. but that being said, though, Shaquille O'Neal, yeah, he's just doesn't work in this movie. And, you know, and because of this movie and Kazam, you know, he's kind of roles as a leading man pretty much went downhill after that. Like, he'll make odd supporting appearances and supporting roles here and there, either as a supporting character or as a cameo as himself. But no, he hasn't really done a lead role since. It's hard not to see why how bad he is in this movie.
He's not good, mate.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, those are our top threes. But Marcy, who was your honorable mentions? I'm very curious to see who's on your list.
All right. So, look, it was difficult to sort of come up with a top three because there are some that I just thought were really, really, really bad. But I decided to go with Triple H as whatever the fuck character he was meant to be in Blade Trinity, which it's not a good movie at all, but what the fuck was he doing in this movie? Like, okay, I'm all for wrestlers being in movies, but Triple H is like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, and, oh, look, it's my vampire Pomeranian. Like, he's not acting, he's just there, and it's not good. Like, I've seen so much better acting as him, as Triple H, on the wrestling. In this movie, it's just like, I'm here for some reason, and this is what I'm doing. And it's like, why?
He's playing, like, the muscle in that movie, but even then, he's just not good.
That movie is not good. I really just think it's shit, especially compared to Blade 2. But, yeah, like, mate, what the fuck are you doing? Go put that Pomeranian somewhere else, mate. It's just, it's just bad. So I had to name that one. And my other honorable mention, which I could have easily have had as number one on my other list, is Topher Grace as Eddie Brock / Venom in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, there's no disagreement there. And it's funny, though, because, like, I would say Topher Grace would have been better as Carnage rather than Venom. That's just me, though.
Look, I've not really thought much of Topher Grace. To be honest, like, I thought it was actually really good in Predators, because he was playing, like, a very different character, so I thought that was really good going more against type, but here it's just, like, it's... The issues with this movie is they should have focused on the one villain, because Sandman was actually like a really good villain in this movie, even though they kind of changed sort of the Uncle Ben thing. But I thought he was good, and that story worked. Everything else, it didn't need to be there. That focus would have been fine for this movie. But Topher Grace is just like, he's kind of like Lenny Luthor, like, fuck off, I'm going to punch you in the face, you're an annoying little shit, go away. And you cannot take Venom seriously when you see that voice and that face coming out of that. It just doesn't work. And while, like, the full Venom look looked really, really good, and that sort of really got people excited, but Sam Raimi was like, I don't want this character in this movie. So I think that's why this fucking character just fucking sucks ass, and he's shit. He's so shit. Go away. I never want to see you again. Kind of shit. You're not a villain, you're a fuckhead. Okay, that's the only way I can describe it. I fucking hate that role. I hate that performance. I don't know what the fuck you were doing, Topher Grace. Go away. Adios. So long. Nah. And they're probably like my two honorable mentions. So, yeah.
All right, I had a bit of a sort of putting down who I think would be on my list. I definitely would say, just to name off a few, I would definitely put January Jones in X-Men First Class. As well, I love that movie a lot, but her performance is so bland in that film, and she did not look like she gave a shit at all. And she just looks so bored throughout the whole movie.
It was very frosty.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Another one would be... Rob Schneider in Judge Dredd.
Yeah, another one where it's like, fuck off, go away, I never want to see you again.
Like, I actually enjoy Judge Dredd. It's one of my favorite guilty pleasures, and it is a fun movie if you take it for what it is, rather than as an adaptation from the comics.
Mm.
But it's very clear Rob Schneider's character was a shoehorn in as to be comic relief.
Yeah.
And if you take his character out of the movie, it doesn't affect the film at all. And, like... I guess they just wanted more humor in the film, but his character just was not needed, and it just comes off more annoying than anything else.
Very.
Another one would definitely be Kate Bosworth in Superman Returns.
Mm.
Here's the thing, though. This is definitely the worst kind of miscasting, because at the time this film was made, Kate Bosworth was only 19 when she played the character.
Are we sure she was that young, though?
I know she was like 19, 20, I think.
I think we're going to have to look this up, because I don't know.
Yeah, we might have
to look that up. If that's necessarily true. But she was young. I'm just not sure if she was that young. Okay. So when she filmed it, she would have been 22.
Okay, 22.
There you go. Okay. So not 19. Okay.
Okay.
That makes more sense now.
Okay, so I stand corrected.
Yes, you do.
But even then, like, she was still too young for that role, because...
Oh, big time.
It doesn't make sense, because in the movie, I can't remember how old her son is in that film. I'm assuming about 5.
I think it's meant to be like 5 or 6.
Yeah, 5 or 6.
Something like that.
And it's like, so basically, Superman knocked her up when she was like 16 years old, and she's been a reporter for, you know, the Daily Planet for many, many years.
Mm.
And also, with a character like, you know, Lois Lane. Lois Lane's a very determined character, and she has a lot of spunk to her role. And I think, you know, someone like Margot Kidder and even, you know, Amy Adams were able to bring those qualities to their interpretations of the character in, you know, their respective films.
Yeah.
But Kate is just comes off as very... doesn't have any of that determination.
Mm.
She doesn't have any of that spunk. She's just very one-note throughout the whole movie, and just plays the character very serious to the point where she comes off very bland.
Mm.
And maybe it's because, like, again, it's just miscasting, and her performance just did not work for me at all. And my final one, and this is an interesting one, because we've had one version of this performance, but then we recently had a different cut of this movie that actually enhanced and bettered this performance.
Mm.
And that, of course, is Kieran Hines is the voice of Steppenwolf in the theatrical version of Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Who, that character of Steppenwolf in that version of the film...
was a piece of crap.
a piece of awful CGI crap, but was the most generic of generic bad guys. of all time.
And the dialogue was awful.
All he kept asking was like, mother.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what the fuck is this? And then you see the Zack Snyder cut and changes your whole perspective of that character completely. It feels like that role was done by another person, even though it was the same person.
Yeah, but even like when you hear Kieran Hines' voice in both those performances, like I know he had to redo a lot of new dialogue for the theatrical cut, and you can easily tell, like in the theatrical cut, he just comes off as kind of a bit bored, but in the Snyder cut, he's more engaged, and because like he has a lot more to work with that character, even though it's only a voice role.
But
it's kind of interesting because now that version of the film pretty much saved this character.
Yeah.
Like, and I guess if the Snyder Cut never came out, like I think Kieran Hines and Stefan would have been very high up on my list.
Yeah.
For sure. But he's an honorable mention mainly because the Snyder Cut pretty much saved that performance.
Yeah, it's like
much better in that movie.
It's like he, you know, was doing the reshoot stuff against his will. That's how the performance.
I think everyone was. Yeah. Once we know more and more about what happened on that film, it's like, yeah, nobody did not want to be part of these reshoots because they did not like what was going on. So that's a whole different story. And you can hear about that on our previous episode
that
of
is
the
right.
podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, those are my honorable mentions. So now we're going to our next little round.
Yes.
Which we're going to talk about our two favorite bad performances from comic book movies. Like, we can acknowledge these are bad, but we can't help but love them anyway.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we've talked about, like, performances that are bad and we don't generally enjoy the performance or the character that the way it's played, but in this case, I think we really enjoy it, despite the fact the performance is not great.
Exactly.
So,
but Marcy, who's your first pick for this round?
All right, so I've decided to go with Tommy Lee Jones as Harvey Dent / Two-Face in Batman Forever. And again, I will defend this movie to the end of time. And Tommy Lee Jones, I know, did not have a great time doing this movie. And he really didn't want to be working with Jim Carrey. So
he could not sanction his buffoonery.
Yeah. So, you know, you see Tommy Lee Jones, even in sort of more comedic stuff like Men in Black, he's not this over the top. Here he just was like, I don't give a crap. Fuck off, Jim Carrey. And he's just like, I'm doing this however the fuck I want to. And his performance is so stupid and so over the top that it is, like, iconically awesome because I love it. I just think, like, the character of Two-Face, Harvey Dent, just, it's not really, like, the Harvey Dent or Two-Face that you know. This is something completely different, and then it's just, like, everything is in two halves. Let's go for that full, you know, two-sided thing, and it's so over the top. And then Tommy Lee Jones' performance just adds to how over the freaking top it is. That it, you know, by all standards, it's not a good performance, but it's a fucking enjoyable performance, and I love watching him as Two-Face. Even if it doesn't make any freaking sense, it's amazing, and I'll stand by that until the end of time.
I agree. Like it definitely is not a good performance, but you can't help but have fun with it. It's very clear he's channeling more of the Joker rather than Two-Face in this performance, and it just seemed like, even though he wasn't sanctuary. Jim Carrey's buffoonery in this film, you can't help but feel like he and Jim Carrey were like in a competition, like who could overact the most in this movie? Because it's clear like every time they're on screen together, it's just like, you can obviously tell it was a competition between the two of them.
Yeah.
And I actually do enjoy it when you see Tommy Lee Jones go, because he's a very serious actor. Who's always plays his roles very dead straight. But it's always fun to see him this over the top. And it's very rare to see him do this. I think Under Siege was probably the only other one you get to see this kind of performance in. But this is definitely the most over top he's ever been in a film. And yeah, it's definitely not a good performance, but it is a fun performance.
Yeah, it is batshit insane and I love it. So that's why I've given the nod to Mr. Tommy Lee Jones.
Indeed. And I guess for my number two, I got to go for my boy. The man who I pretty much want to strive my entire life on. And that, of course, is Nicolas Cage in both Ghost Rider movies.
Yes.
Because, I'll just say it right now. Nicolas Cage's take on Johnny Blaze, a.k.a. Ghost Rider, is not very comic book accurate.
No, it's not at all.
Because I'm pretty sure, like, Johnny Blaze wouldn't be, like, do quirky things like eat M&Ms out of a big wine glass and just do other weird rando shit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have Nicolas Cage, like, in a movie where you just basically just go off and do your thing, you know you're going to have something fun.
Mm.
Whether it's good or bad, you know that Nicolas Cage is going to always give it his all. And both Ghost Rider and, of course, the sequel Spirit of Vengeance prove that he is having a lot of fun in this role. And when he kind of starts to transform into Ghost Rider, it's even more hilarious because he's going in full Cage Rage mode.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite moments in Spirit of Vengeance, which is, even though it's a bad movie, is that he's, like, slowly turning into Ghost Rider, and at some point with a bad guy, he's, like, telling him, like, I can feel him! He's scratching at the door! And then the next scene, he's, like, on his motorbike, and he's, like, going, ah! He's starting to change his Ghost Rider, and it is the fucking funniest thing. I was, like, legit crying. And he does that also in the first movie, too. In the jailhouse scene, when he first fully forms into Ghost Rider, he's, like, in pain, going, ah! And then he starts to like it, and he starts laughing maniacally. Like, ah! And, oh, wait, I'm sorry. Ah! I'm like, strange. Anyways, it is a lot of fun. Like, again, those movies aren't good, but Nicolas Cage at least makes those movies wonderful.
Yeah, his performances are just, like, they don't make any sense. And his hair, what is up with that hair? But, my God, are they fun and just hilarious. Like, it's so Nick Cagey and it's so enjoyable. I love it.
Yeah, the hair is hilarious, but I'm also put off by it in the first film, like, when you see him shirtless, because it doesn't look real.
Yeah.
It looks like they CGI'd his head on somebody else's body. It just looks weird.
Might have.
But, yes. So, my honorable mention, I mean, my number two is, of course, Nick Cage in both Ghost Rider films, but who is your number one fave bad performance?
All right. Say what you will about this one, but I think it is fantastic and fabulous. I was trying to say fantabulous, apparently. This is one of my favorite movies of all time, and it is a comic book movie that people just think is not good, but let me tell you something, I don't care what you think. It is one of my favorites, and I'm giving the honor to I forgot the character's name. I am giving this one to the one and only, the legendary actress, Faye Dunaway, as Selena in Supergirl the movie.
A film that I surprisingly still have not seen yet.
I have no idea how you haven't seen Supergirl the movie.
Actually, you know what? That's a lie. I did see it as a kid. I don't know if I saw all of it, but I know I saw parts of it. But I haven't not seen it since, so I think I'm definitely due for a very long overdue rewatch of this movie.
Shame.
Which is funny, because I actually do own the Blu-ray, so...
Shame.
I can do
that. Shame. Yes.
But explain to us why you love Faye Dunaway in this movie.
Alright, so, look, I love Faye Dunaway in general. Okay. And as Selena, this character, like, is so dumb. Like, I don't like using the word dumb. It's so ridiculous. It doesn't make any freaking sense. And Faye Dunaway is like, I'm going to pretend that this is going to earn me an Oscar nomination. So that's how she tackles the role of, like, the witch Selena. She is over the top. She is crazy. She's the weirdest villain. But I just love it so much. It is just, it's just really insane. Like, the movie itself doesn't make the most sense. Like, I don't know what they were going for. And she doesn't know what the hell she's doing either, but she thinks she's going to win an Oscar, so that's what she does. And it is kind of on that level of insanity of, say, like, Mummy Dearest. But she's in a comic book movie. And, yes. Yeah, if you haven't seen Supergirl, the movie, like, Bede has not, it is so fucking worth it for Faye Dunaway. And if you want to hear more of my thoughts on Supergirl, you can check out The Movies That Make Marcy on YouTube about Supergirl.
Indeed. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
So yes, we will.
Go watch your thoughts on that.
Yes, but no, I love this movie. I love this performance. It is not good, but she is the queen, so shut up.
And I will make sure to finally check out Supergirl.
You better.
I will, I promise. But my number one pick for the best, worst
performance I'm scared.
In a comic book movie, and I don't think this is going to be a huge surprise. I think people would be surprised I didn't pick Nick Cage as number one, but I feel like there's someone better. This performance, in my opinion, is probably one of the most iconic of bad comic book movie performances. Every list you see, like the worst casting list of all time, it's usually number one. But I can't help but love his performance, mainly because his character basically is a pun machine throughout this whole movie. And I think people will know who I'm talking about. Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze in Batman and Robin.
That's right.
It has to say something where practically 98% of his dialogue has some kind of reference to the cold. And I've got the IMDb page up right now with all of his quotes, and they're literally every single one is making a reference to ice and to the cold. And some of the best, of course, being like, of course, it's some of my favorites are good. It's like, I'm afraid my condition has left me cold here, please. I'm nasty. Wow.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. I can't do an Arnold. Shut up.
Tonight's broadcast, a freeze is coming.
Let's kick some ice.
Allow me to break the ice. My name is Freeze. Learn it well, for it's the chilling sound of your doom.
In this universe, there's only one absolute. Everything freezes. My Arnold doesn't work, I'm sorry.
You're not sending me to the cooler.
Stay cool, bird boy. Well, how about this great one from George Clooney? Hey, Freeze, the heat is on.
Brilliant. Okay, that's probably the best line at George Clooney ever gave.
Tonight, oh, Freeze is so far.
I'm putting you on ice.
The Iceman cometh.
Cool party.
If revenge is a dish best served cold, then put on your Sunday finest. It's time to feast. Jeez, Louise. You're not in the meat of the cooler.
I will blanket the city in endless winter. First Gotham, damn the world. But see, basically, it has to really say something when you make a performance that is so special in all the wrong ways that people like. Nearly 25 years after this movie's release, people are still quoting your bad ice puns in this movie.
And I don't understand the thought process. It's like, okay, this character is called Mr. Freeze. Let's just base this character on his name and give him ice and cold puns. But we'll add, like, a little bit of the animated series backstory. Or whatever, I don't know, I haven't read a lot of comics of Mr. Freeze.
Well, even then, like, from what I've heard from Reputation, I mean, I haven't as well, but at least from what I've Reputation, like, he's a very serious character who never does any of this stuff, but they were like, let's just make him say ice puns.
It's Arnold, he can do puns.
Exactly, and that's why it works in a weird way, because, you know, Arnold knows how to make a pun work. Like, you know, Commando, a film we love.
Yeah.
that's full of puns in that movie. So basically he's bringing that same type of fun energy to all these lines, and he's treating like all these lines as if they were Shakespeare.
Yeah, I know, right?
And it's not him, like, even, I guess, as an honorable mention, like, Uma Thurman in the same movie, like, a lot of her lines are basically plant-related puns.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why I think, like, for me, Mr. Freeze as a character, like, it's a character that does not work on any level.
Nah.
Arnold, as much as I love him, is just basically playing himself in this movie.
If he were, like, a Freeze dude.
Exactly. But, you know, as bad as Batman and Robin is, the movie at least sparks when Arnold is on screen.
Mm.
Either for the best or worst reasons. And also Uma Thurman too.
Mm.
But Arnold in particular is just like in a class of his own in this movie.
Yeah.
And that's for me is like, it's why I think it's the best bad performance in all of comic book movie history.
Except for Faye Dunaway. But you haven't seen that yet.
Well, that is true. I might even, as soon as I see Supergirl, I'm going to be like, you know what? Marcy's right. Faye Dunaway is the best out of all of them.
She is amazing. It needs to be and seen.
I bet her in case she attacks me with a coat hanger. But anyways.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess that could be a wrap.
That wraps up our podcast. Thank you so much to everyone for listening.
Indeed, this was a lot of fun to talk about.
And, of course, please send us what you think are the worst performances in a comic book film or your favorite, like, bad ones that you enjoy. We'd love to hear from you, and let us know at one of the following locations, which you can subscribe to us at Patreon at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. You can find us at supermarcy.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thesupernetwork, or you can go to Facebook and look up the Super Network group and find us there. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/SM_supernetwork, or you can follow me at twitter.com/supermarcy. You can always send us an email at thesupernetworksm@gmail.com. And you can find some awesome merchandise on Redbubble if you look up Super Marcy or the Super Network. You can look at my own art page on Patreon, and most of it is set to public, at patreon.com/theartofmp. And you can subscribe to us via our YouTube channel at the Super Network YouTube channel. And you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addicts, Pocket Cast, Deezer, and Listen Notes. I think that is everything.
Indeed. And I guess if people want to find me personally, they can find me at my Twitter at twitter.com/BeeJamine, or my personal writer's page at facebook.com/TerribleAussie. And, of course, find all my writings and all that over at the Super Network. I haven't written anything yet as of recent, but I am going to be doing my latest bad movie tweet-a-thon very soon, which is still, the poll is still up there at the time that this episode is been recorded, so definitely go over there and vote for my next one. And also, finally, I've been talking about this for months, and I promise you all, it is coming. Believe me, it is, because I will not rest until it is actually posted. I will finally unveil my top 10 movies of 2020. So that is coming. And I'll be curious what people think of the list once it gets published. But you'll have to wait until then.
All right. And that is a wrap on our podcast. Again, you can find us at all these lovely locations. And you can, of course, give us what you think is the worst performance in a comic book movie or your favorite really silly bad one. And until next time, I've been Super and Beta's been terrible. Goodbye, everyone.
See everybody. Bye.